start it to, man, gotta be more cautious and conscientious. I can't even talk. Here we go. Of time. Sometimes I forget that thing's back there. And then I preached in a church last Sunday, and they didn't have a clock. And I didn't have one on me either. I don't think I preached that long. But anybody know what I have right here? What do I got, Joe? That's a lighter. What do we use a lighter for? Light a candle. Start a fire. Hey, man, light a grill. What do I got right here? Fire. You know, when fire when fire touches something, what usually happens? It's changed. It's burned. Some stuff is charred. You know, you can take wire, you know, and wire's wrapped in plastic a lot of times, like in these walls. You can pull that wire out. Pastor was talking about copper the other day. He said, you know, you take that all that wire, and you can throw it in a fire. And on the outside, it looks like it's just plastic, but if you look at the ends, you can see that there's copper. We throw that copper in the fire, it melts away, burns up all the plastic. It's changed from its original form. Here tonight, what would happen if we would catch on fire? If we'd just catch on fire. Amen. I'm probably going to use this a couple times. Hopefully I don't burn up all the fluid. If I do, I'll buy a new one. I thought about bringing something in here that I could burn, but that might be a fire hazard. I don't have any fire extinguishers handy. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you tonight, turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, not Matthew in our sanctuary. I seen everybody looking when I said turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 3. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. When you have it, please stand. And if you don't got it there in your Bible, you can look up on the screen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. This is John the Baptist speaking here. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. 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 Amen. See, we got a pyro in the house. No. Fire. Amen. I want to talk to us here for just a minute about the fire. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We're thankful, God, that you've shown yourself real in this place. God, as a consuming fire, God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, God, Lord, as we go through this service, God, to be drawn closer to you, to be challenged, to be changed. God, I pray that you'd move in our hearts and our lives. Draw us to these altars, God, I pray. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read a few more scriptures here in a minute. But I want us to realize here in John's words when he was speaking, he said that he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now I want us to realize who this man was that was proclaiming this statement. He was someone that was filled. He was someone that was touched by the Holy Ghost before he ever entered into the world. We find that Elizabeth, as she was carrying this child named John, that the moment that she encountered Mary, what began to happen? That child began to move because it had just experienced the power of God. Whenever we are touched by the fire of God, we are changed. We are transformed. Everywhere the fire goeth, it changes it. A lot of times here in Oklahoma, before hay season starts, when spring begins to come along, we find that men and women in this part of the country begin to light a fire to purge the fields. Because when you burn off what is old and dead, vibrant life comes back in its place. I can remember a couple years ago, when my neighbor accidentally started a fire. And it started, Brother Donald started to come towards my house, and I was afraid that it was going to consume it. I'm fighting the fire with everything that I have in me. But Larry, I got my trash barrel out, and I'm putting water in it, bailing water, running out, putting it around the propane tank, around my building, because it was all dry. And the grass was a little tall. That's now I mow all of it. I mow it short, so if it ever happens again, it'll burn hot and fast and be over with. But what happened, Brother Jonathan, is after all that fire came through and wreaked havoc, killed a bunch of my wild plum trees, those didn't come back. But all of the grass was all dead, black, and brown. Non-existent. Life looked impossible in that field. But after the rain came, new life begin to spring forth. I want to talk to us here for just a second. Have you had the fire in your life? Amen. The fire, amen, was coming around this sanctuary this morning. Amen. It's Pentecost Sunday. Amen. We don't know the exact time it was when the Holy Ghost fell. It might have been morning. It might have been afternoon. I believe there's some references we can look at, but I want us to draw and look at this picture that the fire fell. Amen. We can look down in John chapter number 14, verse 26. I'm starting to get ahead of myself. Amen. John 14 and 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." This is Jesus Christ speaking here, telling the disciples of who was coming. Who is coming? The Holy Ghost. We don't have to wait any longer. We don't have to gather together in an upper room and try and wait on the Holy Ghost. We don't have to wait on the fire. I'm here to tell you tonight that the fire is real and it's ready. It's just waiting on someone to be ignited. I want to ask you a question tonight. Amen. Did you come to church bringing a blanket? Or did you come to church bringing something ready to be used and be burned up by the power of God? A lot of times we come to the house of God and we bring in our bucket and we bring in our blanket and we're waiting for the Spirit to move so that we can grab that towel, dip it, and put it out, because we don't want service to go too long. We don't want to see our lives changed. I'm here to tell you tonight that the fire is ready and it's willing, and the sacrifice will lay itself up on the altar tonight. Hallelujah. Because the Father has sent the Comforter. Amen. You say, "Well, I'm not called to be set on fire." I find in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 1 where it states, "And the angel has said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers as a flaming fire." We are called to be fired up and ready to burn. We're called to be moving and living. How do we know fire's doing something? Because it's going somewhere. Hallelujah. Every year in California, there's wildfire that breaks out. Sister Janet, you know a little bit about that. I believe it's your son that's been in that before. Running them trucks, putting out the fire, because they don't want to consume something of value. I've been around fire. We had a bunch of hay. Got set on fire one year when I was about Isaac's age, about 15, 16 years old. And I was out there, Brother John, I was out there fighting the fire. We had our tractor in there. We had the hose set up and we were spraying the tractor down, trying to get what hay wasn't on fire out of there. A lot of times we take things in our life and we begin to build them up because they're precious to us, because we want them. There's times in our life that we've got to place them upon the altar of God and allow Him to consume everything that is within us. Because when we allow Him to consume everything that's within us, church, we don't come out just like a pile of hay and stubble. We don't simply come out looking like something that's been beat up and torn up. But I'm here to tell you tonight, when we place ourselves upon the altar, He said that He wants to try us in the fire. And when I find out we come through the fire, church, then we come out like gold. Not just the gold that we see here, but pure gold, undefiled, and filled with the power of God. If we'll just have a decision and say, I'll be burned up, I'll be set on fire, because I want God to move in my life. But it takes us, church, having a desire. What was I doing? Whenever Sister Lindsay was testifying this morning in Sunday, amen, during song service, amen, I set a fire in my heart. I began to run around this place. What was Pastor doing? He had a fire that was shut up in his bones that he could not contain. But he had to move, because the fire is something that is lively. Amen. It's, we're called to be lively stones. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, I find in 1 Kings, amen, we could look back at Elisha as he was hid up in a cave. He was hiding out. He thought he was the only one left. We find in that scripture, and it says this, and the Lord, He was made present. I'm going to paraphrase here for just a minute. He was made present, and there was wind. The earth began to shake. We find that, as, and it says, and behold, the Lord passed by. It's a sign of His presence. And a great strong wind rent the mountains, breaking pieces of the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. He wasn't in the quake. These were all effects of His presence. We find a fire appeared after the earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. But all these things are an example of His strength and His might. There are times in your life where you're just hoping the earthquake will be what He wants. There's sometimes, Brother Jason, we just want to hear that still small voice. All these things, God was the cause of it. I want us to realize that. Sometimes we get so comfortable wanting to hear that same specific thing, Sister Bethany. We don't want to hear, feel the effects of the earthquake. Brother John, we don't want to hear the still small voice. Brother Larry Joshua, we don't want to feel the fire, because it's not what I'm comfortable with. I'm here to tell you tonight that God moves in every one of these avenues. But it's up to us, amen, to get out of our comfort zone and begin to move past, amen, the comfort. Begin to move past of, amen, our rituality. Move past, amen, what we've always done. And begin to allow God to move, whether it be in an earthquake, whether it be in the wind, whether it be in the fire. But being, amen, being willing to be moved by Him. Hallelujah. We get so comfortable doing what we want to do. Freight service is going to go too long. Oh no, pastor's got the microphone. He's going to preach now. It's noon. Pastor, just preach on. Amen. He doesn't need my blessing, but I want him to know that I back him. Amen. How many of us say, well, my day's already scheduled. I can't do that. Well, Jason, church used to last all day and all night. We get upset if it lasts over 2 hours and 42 minutes. Amen. What would happen, church,
if we would run so long and get so on fire with God that all of a sudden the Facebook feed has to cut us off because we've reached the maximum amount of views, the maximum amount of time frame allotted. What would happen if we would begin to push the limits? I can tell you here tonight that if we'd get a fire, amen, that would be inside of us, that we would begin to move from our current comfort zones, begin to move out of the norm, begin to allow God to move through us. Fire, when it is started, doesn't stop. It doesn't start, amen, in one place and stay there. In order for us to contain a fire, we build vessels. We have a candle to contain the flame in that area. We build a fireplace to contain the flame in that box. A lot of times, I'm afraid, we put the power in the presence of God in a box, and we shut the door on it and say, I just want to feel the heat, but I don't want to experience the fire. Come on, church. I want to just feel the presence of God, but I don't want to experience it. There's a difference than feeling. Amen. Right now, Brother Larry can feel my presence. He knows I'm here. He can see me. But in order for him to experience it, we've got to begin to connect. And now he doesn't only feel, but he has now experienced, amen, that I, amen, am here. Amen, that I have made myself, amen, available. A lot of times, church, whenever God is moving, we simply say, I'll just sit outside. Because guess what? There was only 120 that decided that they were going to pray. There was only 120 that was willing to stand up and be dedicated and be, amen, filled with the fire of God. I'm here to tell you tonight, are you willing to be one that stands outside and just says they're all drunk? Or are you one that's willing to get in the water and allow the presence of God to consume you? Yes. Hallelujah. We can look at the three Hebrew boys. They were told that they were to bow their knees to an idol. We find King Nebuchadnezzar told them, bow your knees or burn. We find that instead of being bound by an idol, they decided to stand in freedom. But I want us to look a little bit farther down in this story. Whenever they came, I believe Pastor made reference to this morning, when they came to that fiery furnace, they heated it up 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. And then the Word of God says that they bound them hand and foot, elbow and shoulder. Couldn't move, Brother Jason. They bound them. Because they wouldn't bend, they bound them. And then they threw them, now get this, amen, they threw them down in the fire because he wanted to make sure they couldn't move. He wanted to make sure that they would be far gone by the time those bands were burnt off. I don't know what kind of cords they were, Brother Jason. They might have been cable. I mean, he did have something built out of iron and brass and metal. We don't know the material, but just go with me for just a minute. This man was someone that was wanting to express his power. Go with me for just a minute. Let's just think, it probably might not have been rope. I don't have scripture for this. This is just Lucas 1:1. But just go with me for just a moment. Just imagine. They were bound. They couldn't move. And we find that they're thrown in the fire. Oh, church. When they were thrown in the fire, those men that threw them in died instantly. They were consumed by the fire. Oh, church. But I'm here to tell you tonight, when they landed in the bottom of that furnace, they didn't just lay there, but they stood up and began walking around. Amen. They weren't just walking by themselves. But the king looked at one of his guards and said, "Hey, boys, didn't we throw three of them in there? But there's four that's walking around." That goes to tell me, amen, that they were communicating with God. Amen. Jesus Christ was in there. Amen. And the king recognized him and said, "That fourth man, he's as the Son of God." I'm here to tell you tonight that when we get into the fire, it don't matter if we're bound. It doesn't matter if we're tied up. It don't matter what you're going through. But he will be there, and he will walk in the fire with you if you will just acknowledge him and tell him, "Burn everything up, God. Burn it up in me." Church, I feel this in my heart. As I was walking around this place with my wife, and I was praying, "God, consume me. Leave nothing left but your purpose." If we'll begin to see the purpose and the plan of God, if we'll begin to see the purpose, Brother Matthew, in the pain, if we'll begin to see the purpose that he wants to take us into the fire, because when we're consumed and someone else touches us, guess what happens? They begin to be affected, amen, by what you've experienced. I'm here to tell you, we've got to get the fire back in our hearts. Oh, church. Lo, I see a fourth man. Come here, Michael. Come here. Tony, Ryan, come here. Titus, come here. Amen. These three boys just got thrown in the fire. Here, come over here. These boys just got thrown in the fire. I want you guys to get this. Here, lay down on the ground there. Just lay down there. Amen. It's all right. You don't have to go all the way. I know. These boys are bound. Get a picture. They said, "King, we're not going to bow. We would rather burn. There's things in your life." Oh, Jesus. Holy Ghost. God's wanting to bring you out of it. He says, "Child, you got to be set on fire." You say, "I'd rather bow to my fleshly desires. I would rather bow to my bad attitude. I would rather bow with bitterness. Holy Ghost, help me. I would rather bow with this heartache than give forgiveness. I would rather bow with my pride versus being delivered." Pride is a real thing. We find that when they were thrown in the fire, there was a fourth man helping them up. There was a fourth man that came on the scene. He began to break every chain, break every fetter, begin to set free the captive, mend the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. He began to cause, amen, a chain reaction, not only in these three boys' lives, amen, as they were delivered, amen, in the fire. They had to go into a church. We've got to have a desire saying, "God, burn me. God, burn me up. Consume me. Let only your Holy Ghost and your power and the conviction to reach others remain." Because, church, when these three men came out, they didn't come out as prisoners. Church, they came out, hallelujah, as champions. They came out, and he said, "Hey, boys, you know that all that big idol we just built? We're going to tear it down because we're going to worship the one true God." Amen. We've got to have a desire. Lord, no matter what it takes, set me on fire. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, boys. You can stand or sit, whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. Oh, church. I'm going somewhere. We can look at 2 Corinthians. We can find there Solomon in his youth had a desire to have the fire of God in his life. We find that when he was there in the tabernacle and they were making sacrifices to God, when he made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings. How long has it been since you've walked around the sanctuary or walked up to the front and become displaced from your comfort? Your complacency, church. The world of America, the church world of America today has gotten so complacent. Give me something that'll tickle my ears. I can put a 20 in the offering plate and I can go home. Amen. Just give me 3 songs and a 20-minute sermon and 2 minutes of prayer. Church, I'm sorry, I'm already over 20 minutes. And I challenge you, leave your prayer time card behind. Just go full time. We find that Solomon, when he'd made an ending of the sacrifice, when he made an ending to the sacrifice, church, that the glory of the Lord, that it filled the house so much that the priest could not minister. I'm here to tell you tonight that this morning, if we would have got all in, amen, amen, there'd have been a lot of us that couldn't, amen, minister anymore, Brother Jason, because we was laying out. Amen. There's a lot of us that if we would begin to have a desire for the fire once again, we don't want it because it begins to take things that I might like. I'd much rather have my hour and 45 minutes of watching my favorite film than I would spend an hour and 45 minutes in my prayer closet. I'd much rather watch a 45-minute TV show and go through all the old nasty commercials than spend 45 minutes down with the Word of God. Amen. I would rather spend 2 or 3 hours scrolling through social media instead of getting 2 or 3 hours and getting a closer walk with God. I would rather spend 2 or 3 hours talking to somebody about sports and other activities than I would spend a couple hours talking to somebody trying to get them and win them to Christ. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you ain't been doing it, amen, you've gotten complacent. Amen, because guess what? We're in the last days. Amen, those of us that get caught away and we stand before God and the flaming fire that he sends out to burn up all of our works will either produce souls or will produce nothing. And nothing, my friend, is a deadly thing, because we find those that come to him, he's going to say, depart, for I knew you not. And they're going to say, Lord, I tried casting devils out. That don't matter, because you weren't faithful. You weren't on fire. You simply sat down and was complacent. Church, there was 3,000 that was outside them doors. Peter exhorted to and were saved. There wasn't just 3,000 that was out there. There was a multitude. Only 3,000 received. Only 3,000 were willing to be set afire. What would have happened if there had been 3,120 people in that upper room? How many more would have got saved? A lot of times we just look, say, the pastor's going to pray it down. The commander and Royal Ranger's going to have to train my child in the way they should pray and the way they should read God's word. The children's church director is responsible for making sure my child is saved, making sure giving them their weekly devotion. I'm here to tell you tonight, if we're not on fire in our homes, how on earth do we expect to be on fire in the house of God? Hallelujah. Come on, church. We find that whenever, amen, whenever Solomon was there and the power of God fell, amen, we find that the priest fell before the face of God. Amen, not only the priest, but all of Israel, because they were consumed in the cloud and in the fire of God. we find that it says in verse number 3, "And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their face to the ground." How long has it been since you've got down on your face before God? Hallelujah. Church, I feel this in my heart. We can look. We see a man named Jeremiah. And then he said, "I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire." Church, a burning fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. I've got to go somewhere. I've got to do something. If you're not moving, church, I'm afraid you might be dead. There ain't no fire no more. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, we've got to get set on fire again. Amen. I've seen some of us will get excited over, amen, a sports game or maybe a game of cakewalk. But how long's it been, church, that you've been excited about the power of God? We can find a couple of boys in Luke that mates when they were walking with Jesus, they didn't know who they were walking with. They didn't recognize it until he was already gone. He said, "Oh, did not our hearts burn within us? And we didn't ask him any questions. Church, when he comes into this place, we just say, oh, I felt the presence of God. Did not, Brother Matthew, my heart burn within me?" We walk out the door saying, "I got a visitation. I received a touch." But did you receive any direction? Did you receive any power? Did you experience the fire? Did you experience the fire? I'm going to work on trying to close here in just a few minutes. Exodus chapter 19. We are on the day of Pentecost. I want to draw us a picture here of an experience the whole nation of Israel experienced. We find in Exodus 19 and 16 it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of triumph exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Amen. Brother Michael, you like to be expressional. Show me what it means to tremble. Come up here. What's it mean to tremble? Tremble. Shame. He's trembling. I'm just scared. I asked him in Rangers what it meant to act like a monkey. He got out there, jumping all around. Trembling at the sound of the voice of God. And the Spirit of God spoke this morning. How many of us in our hearts trembled? How many of us moved? Church, I don't want to see anyone get complacent. I don't want to see anyone get removed. But whenever you feel that power of God, that we respect it, we honor it, and we move with it. We find verse 17, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the near part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it with fire. And smoke, therefore, ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of triumph sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. I'm not going to read all the way down through this chapter, but we find that Moses went up and God gave him a command. Told him he was supposed to go down and get a few key folks and bring them up a little ways. That's over in, I'm going to skip over here to Exodus chapter 24 in just a minute. But we find that when God spoke, or when Moses spoke, God spoke to him. All of the children of Israel could see the lightning, the fire, and the smoke. When you go out into this world, they see somebody that's changed, someone that's on fire. Is there any smoke coming from your life? We find in Exodus chapter 24, verse 15, and Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and 7 days he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. What was Moses doing up there? He was getting set on fire. Because what happened when he came down from the mount? What was he covered with? Because he shone. Because the fire, he was consumed. How long's it been since you've been so consumed by the fire that people, amen, whenever they experience your presence, they said there's something about you. There's something you got. Amen, we find, amen, we're going to look at 12 different parallels between Mount Sinai, amen, and the Acts, amen, experience. We find both events occurred on a mountain, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, known as the Mountain of God. Both events happened to a newly redeemed people. The Exodus marked the birth of the Israelite nation, while Pentecost events recorded in Acts 2 marked the birth of Christianity. Both events involved God's people receiving a gift, one of the Torah or the Scriptures, and the other of the Spirit. The Israelites left Egypt on Passover, and 40 days later they arrived at Sinai. Then Moses went up into the mountain to see God. 10 days later, 3,000 people died as a result because they were disobeying the Spirit of the Word of God, the laws of God. But notice this. Notice that 10 days after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came down and 3,000 people were saved. 50 days after sacrificing the Passover lamb, the Israelites received a covenant from God. 50 days after sacrificing Jesus, our Passover lamb, believers received a new covenant from God. Both events had similar sounds and symbols. We find wind, fire, smoke, and voices. Voices, the Hebrew word translated thunder in Exodus, which means voices or languages. Think about this in the light of Acts 2 event. Number 9, the fire at Sinai was one fire visible by all. And the fire at Pentecost was individual fires on every person. In the event at Mount Sinai, the people were kept away from the fire. Church, but in Acts, the fire came to the people. Both events, I want us to realize that God showed up. He showed up in Exodus. He showed up in Acts. In both events, God gave us the Torah, the law to his people. In both cases, he sealed the covenant that he had made with them at Sinai. He gave the law written by his finger in the tablets of stone. And at Pentecost, he gave the law written on the table of the heart. Number 12, in both events, a mixed multitude of people were represented. In Exodus, the whole nation of Israel was present. The Torah attempt to change people from the outside, from without. But the Holy Spirit that came in Acts changes from within. The word Torah means teaching. And in John 14 and 26, I read this earlier. The Holy Spirit, He's called. He's going to bring in remembrance. He's going to teach us. Church, I want us to stand. Sister Lindsay, come. I'm going to close with this section of Scripture. Acts chapter 2. I've been waiting all night to read this Scripture. I know I've made many references to it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. I want to ask you tonight, do you have a flame? Amen. Setting upon your head. Amen. Are you set afire? Or are you simply something that's just standing there, an empty torch with nothing to offer? I'm here to tell you tonight, on the day of Pentecost, all them years ago, the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost is prevalent here tonight. If we'll just get a desire to be set on fire once again. Hallelujah. Church, how long's it been since you've been touched by the fire of God? When the world looks at you, do they see a Christian that's on fire? Or do they see someone that's just burnt out, going through the motions? I'm going to ask us a question. Amen. And I want us to be honest. Everybody close your eyes. I don't ever do this. Amen. How long's it been since you've had that touch of the fire of God in your life? Amen. If you want that fire of the Holy Ghost in your life, I want you just to raise your hand and say, God, I'm making a symbol. Amen. I'm making a push forward that I want your fire. Church, He sees the hands. Now that you've made that proclamation saying, God, I need the fire, I want you to come, amen, and be the first to the front. Say, Lord, here am I. I raise my hand. I'm making a declaration. Church, come. Amen. I want the fire, because I'm here to tell you tonight that the fire of God is available. The presence of God, amen, wants to move in your heart and in your life. But you first of all got to admit, God, I need set on fire. God, consume me with your fire, with your power. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't be complacent. Don't stop.